And welcome to The Morning Magazine, your Front Range morning news program here on Community Radio KGNU. It's Friday, July 12th. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Annalee Myers. With threats of immigrant raids this weekend looming, a national action is taking place demanding detention camps are closed, including a march to the Geo Detention Center in Aurora. We'll hear about that and some of the emergency resources available to the immigrant community to prep for those raids. Then the stars of our monthly Nature Almanac feature that update us on what's happening in the natural world, Glenn and Ruth Carol Cushman, have been hiking Boulder Trails for over 50 years. We'll hear an interview with them, and we have a special gift today. It's a newly revised book by the Nature Almanac crew. Ruth Carol Cushman and her husband, Glenn, are offering that book, and we'll hear more about that coming up in the Morning Magazine. KGNU's George Figg spoke with members of the Tapestry Theater Troupe in Boulder, who will be performing their version of Shrek Jr., the musical, at the Dairy Arts Center starting this weekend. We'll hear about how the local theater company is working to make the arts more inclusive. And then at 8:30, we'll go to Connections, our weekly call-in program. And now it's time for your local headlines. A new draft report from the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment shows greenhouse gas emissions have declined in Colorado since 2010. However, state leadership adds a much larger decrease in air pollutants will be necessary to meet the state's carbon reduction goals. According to the 2019 Colorado Greenhouse Gas Inventory Study, in 2015, Colorado air contained around 127 million metric tons of carbon dioxide, methane, nitrous oxide, and other emissions. The Denver Post reports those numbers do show a decline in emissions, but are still a long way away from the goals in the new law targeting climate change and air pollution. Colorado House Bill 19-1261 sets the goal of reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 90% by 2050. The report authors say meeting the first target of a 26% reduction by 2025 will be a challenge, considering current projections estimate pollution totals around 122.6 million metric tons in 2030, below 2005 levels, but still well above the state's goals. A new committee meeting at the state capitol Thursday heard schools are getting safer, but the progress is inconsistent. Here's Roz Brown.
The interim legislative committee met for the first time yesterday and heard for the first time following the deadly shooting in May at STEM School of Highlands Ranch. The Denver Post reports that a previous school safety committee met for only 1 year and didn't propose any legislation. Representatives from law enforcement, research groups, and the Colorado School Safety Resource Center pointed to ideas that are producing results in schools, including programs to encourage students to support each other, training on how to handle student threats, and protocols to make sure everyone is on the same page during an emergency. The chief of safety for Denver Public Schools told the committee, "Our current state of school safety is strong, but unfortunately, it's inconsistent. Issues at stake are how much training schools put in safety and how much money they have to do the work." The committee was told that much of the grant funding for prevention work has gone to metropolitan areas, not to communities in southeast Colorado or on the western slope, where schools are reported to have a high need for mental health support. For KGNU, I'm Roz Brown.
Thursday, federal prosecutors announced they reached a $1.2 million settlement in a lawsuit against the San Miguel Power Association, alleging the Colorado Power Company started a 2010 fire that burned about 4 square miles of public and national forest land near Norwood. Colorado Politics reports prosecutors say 2 cottonwood trees fell across one of the company's electrical power lines and started the Beaver Fire. But San Miguel Power Association denies all liability or wrongdoing. Expect a high today somewhere around 94 degrees, low tonight somewhere around 63. We do see a chance for storms this evening, but highs are expected to stay in the 90s through early next week. It's currently around 73 degrees on the Front Range. And the time is 8:08. You're listening to your community radio station, KGNU. Today, in response to the incarceration of immigrants and the threats of more raids this weekend, a nationwide action is taking place demanding that detention camps are closed. In Colorado, people will gather at the light rail station closest to the Geo Center in Aurora. and will march to that private prison. KGNU's Maeve Conran spoke with Frankie Donez, who is with the group Contra ICE.
Yeah, so Contra ICE started directly from threats of raids by ICE from Trump, and it was formed in Denver, Colorado. We had our first meeting around June 22nd, and that's when it started. But we're just like a grassroots community organization, and we believe that the most impacted should be the ones fighting against inhumane practices in concentration camps and also the threat of raids from ICE. The National Coalition has two demands. It's close the concentration camps and let them all in. The first demand is pretty self-explanatory. We think that we should close the concentration camps and that there should not be a easing of inhumane practices in the concentration camps, because we believe that there is no way around it, really, that you should just close them, you know? And the Aurora ICE facility in particular, there's an auditor for the ICE facility there, but they failed to actually meet the standards of humane practices. And every time there's a third-party auditor that goes into the ICE facility, in the detention center, they don't meet the standards. I think that's a sign to us that there's a lot more other facilities that have inhumane practices going on.
When you say that Contra ICE is really organizing by the communities that are most impacted by that, so is that like the immigrant communities? Give us a sense of who's involved.
Yeah, right now we're still starting. We're kind of using this march as a launch pad for our organization. We're kind of small right now. We're mostly students just out of high school, college students, and a few activists that have been in the Denver community for, I think, the past few years. So we're kind of a new organization. We're hoping to use this march as a launch pad to connect with the immigrant community in a meaningful way so that we can understand what their needs are instead of trying to solve the issue for them. We'll empower them to solve their own issues. And I think that's the best way to go about this.
This event that is happening on Friday, there are going to be a lot of people mobilizing for this really around the country, but specifically at the Aurora GEO prison where immigrants have been incarcerated there. Give us a sense of the march to close the concentration camps events that is happening in Aurora on Friday evening.
Yeah, so the march right now, it's sponsored by a few organizations. We have the Denver Colorado Socialists, and we have Longmont Green Party, Green Party of Colorado, East Boulder County United, Denver Boulder Jewish Voice for Peace, Contra ICE, and Boulder Democratic Socialists of America, the International Socialist Collective. They all endorse the action, so a lot of their members will be there. But we're just looking to have a good day of rallying and chanting and highlighting the issues that are within the concentration camps right now. We'll just have a march down the sidewalks and launch off our organizations in this campaign so that we can have a long-term battle against the concentration camps and also against these immigration policies. Because we think that it's going to be years and years of fighting campaigns, community organizing, and grassroots action from below that's actually going to close these camps. It's never going to come from, say like a top-down initiative where it's headed by a congressman or a legislator. But we believe that this needs to come from the bottom up. And the march is representative of that because a lot of these organizations that are sponsoring are grassroots organizations.
Frankie Donez with the group Contra ICE, one of the local organizing groups organizing the march to close the concentration camp. They meet at 6 o'clock this evening at 3576 Moline Street in Aurora, close to the Peoria Station Park and Ride, then march to the GEO facility. You can find out more about Contra ICE on Facebook, where you can find several other events they're planning. There are several other events in solidarity with immigrants happening this evening, including Lights for Liberty events happening at 7 p.m., also at the GEO Center this evening. It'll be a candlelight vigil in support of immigrants. There'll be another Lights of Liberty event at 7 p.m. in Boulder at the Bandshell and others happening in communities around Colorado. You can find a local event at lightsforliberty.org. From 4 to 7 this afternoon, there will be a free emergency legal clinic in response to mass deportations this weekend. It's at the Mercury Cafe. That's at 2199 California Street in Denver. It'll be open to anyone who has questions about their constitutional rights in the face of mass arrests. It's conducted by attorneys. The meeting will be talking about ICE, DHS, and any other representatives of the U.S. government that will be involved in this raid, giving some of the details around it, and also talking about some of the protections under the Sixth Amendment. And there will be counsel provided by attorneys as well. Those will be conducted in both Spanish and English and open to any citizen, resident, or non-citizen who has any questions about how to defend themselves and their friends and family against this weekend's mass deportations. For fans of KGNU's first Friday of the Month Nature Almanac feature, we have a special gift today. It's a newly revised book by the Nature Almanac's Ruth Carol Cushman and her husband Glenn. It includes updated information about 75 great hiking trails. And best of all, it shares the wisdom of Glenn and Ruth Carol Cushman. They've been hiking Boulder trails for over 50 years. Here's Shelley Slender talking with Ruth Carol and Glenn.
Ruth Carol Cushman and Glenn Cushman, how many years have you been hiking in Boulder County?
Pretty close to 50 years. That's how long we've been married.
And I started hiking long before that. I first came to summer school out here in 1957 and climbed up to Royal Arch that first year and thought it was 100 miles.
Had the trails changed in the over 60 years that you've been hiking?
Oh, they've definitely gotten a lot steeper and a lot longer. In reality, they've gotten a lot more crowded. It used to be you could hike up Royal Arch and not meet anyone else on the trail. You could get out on the Mesa Trail and there would just be a handful of people.
Now, your book, Boulder Hiking Trails, do you have a favorite that has stayed a favorite from all of your years of hiking?
Right now, midsummer, the alpine flowers are at their peak. So my favorite trail would be, I guess, Arapahoe Pass, anywhere above Timberline.
And how about you, Glenn?
This time of year, we usually do seek the higher altitudes to go walking.
You see more people on the trails these days, but do you also find more trails?
Yes, particularly down here on the plains and in the foothills, the Open Space Department has built a lot more trails.
You were here in Boulder County before there really was a trails program.
But there were trails even then. Trails were built back in the 1920s, like the Mesa Trail, I think dates all the way back to 1920s. And of course, that's a favorite for everyone in Boulder. And that's one that has gotten so crowded that it's almost impossible, even on a weekday, to find a parking spot. An all-time favorite trail, just regardless of season, would be Walden and Sawhill because of the birds out there. But right now there would be mosquitoes, so we might want to go to try to see the fireflies, but we probably would have a hard time finding anyone who wants to go with us.
If I recall, Ruth Carol Cushman, you have a special net that you can wear.
I do have mosquito hats and mosquito jackets, but they're awfully hot, so I'm not sure I'd really recommend them. What I do like to wear is a red hat anytime during the summer, because a red hat frequently means a hummingbird will come and buzz you.
That's very inviting. Glenn Cushman, what is your favorite trail?
We were just up at Caribou Town Site, and that's one of my favorite places to go. Lower down, whenever we have guests that we want to show around, Walden and Sawhill Ponds always is on the list.
Walden and Sawhill Ponds are off of 75th and Valmont.
That's right there, about halfway between Valmont and J Road.
They're just little sand pits that over time the birds and the bees and the butterflies have all discovered.
And the mosquitoes and the fireflies. A lot of people don't believe there are fireflies in Boulder County, but that's one of the places, as well as Twin Lakes. But wherever you find fireflies, you're going to find mosquitoes because both critters like to have wetlands.
This time of year, do you ever wear mosquito spray?
Yes, I think it's very important, particularly with West Nile.
And so you still go out. You always find a way to get out despite the weather, despite the bugs.
Yes, there are places also to avoid. This time of year, we're beginning the monsoon season. So if you want to go high, plan on going early to avoid the electrical storms.
all of these kinds of tips are in your book, Boulder Hiking Trails, which you have revised for the fifth time here, brand new revised.
I remember when Jim Pruitt first asked us to do this guide, I'd done a couple of books for Jim Pruitt, and I ran into him during an electrical storm up on the trail to Calypso Cascade, and I was just coming down, and the storm was beginning to abate, but the lightning had been flashing all around, and I guess Jim thought since I was happy to be out in that storm, I might be able to do such a book.
You have seen the mountain park system change so much. How distinctive is it for a county like Boulder to have so many places that people can go out in nature?
We're very lucky that way. Hordes of people are coming from other counties because of our open space and trails to use it.
Boulder attracts as many hikers as Rocky Mountain Park.
Oh, that's right. Rocky Mountain National Park is much larger in acreage than Boulder County, but we have more visitors.
More visitors and possibly more trails even.
Here it is, the best of the plains, foothills, and mountains, Boulder Hiking Trails.
Oh, and there's also one little section of it that we call the best of the best. And that's where we list some of the best trails to go for sumac and autumn color, for bird watching, for ski touring, for historical cabins and ruins. That's sort of a little cheat sheet.
Well, thank you again for writing this book and for all of your knowledge about the trails and hikes of Boulder.
They're a lot of fun.
Our pleasure.
Thanks to Shelley Schlender for that interview. Ruth Carroll and Glenn Cushman have been hiking Boulder County for over 50 years. We're offering their book, Boulder Hiking Trails, at the $60 membership level for people who pledge their support to KGNU. Anyone can call us now, and that number is 303-449-4885. And during this Summer of Love Drive, we do have all sorts of people joining us in the studio and here at KGNU to take your calls, one of which is Roz Brown.
And good morning. And don't forget that in addition to the book we are talking about this morning, you also have a selection of other gifts that we'd love to give you if you pledge to the radio station. And today, this is the last weekday of the mini summer drive. And so get in on that. Get in on showing some love for KGNU. Tell us how much you appreciate what's going on here and how much you appreciate knowing that your community radio station is there for you every weekday morning. Hey, in addition to the weekends when we're playing some amazing music by all sorts of DJs. So show us some love this morning and give us a call, 303-449-4885.
And there is more discussion these days about making the arts more inclusive. One local theater company has been working on that for years. KGNU's George Figg spoke with members of the Tapestry Theater Troupe in Boulder, who'll be performing their version of Shrek Jr., the musical, at the Dairy Arts Center starting this weekend. We'll hear from actors Kylie Georgian, Riley McCluskey, and Barrett Stormo Flanagan. But first, here's Elizabeth Goodrich with Tapestry.
Center Stage's Tapestry Theater Company is an all-abilities musical theater company that produces two major shows a year. We have been in existence since the year 2012. And our very first show was You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. And this year we're producing Shrek Jr., the musical. Tapestry casts people of all abilities to support each other in the process of rehearsal and performance. So we have many types of people involved in Tapestry Theater. We have people who are living with different kinds of abilities, and it's pretty amazing to watch them come together as a cast and support each other. Everyone has a gift to share, no matter what kind of support they need, and it is really wonderful to watch the cast grow together and realize each other's strengths. And seeing that on stage is pretty amazing because you watch the actors being so, it's so important to the actors that each other succeeds, and that's what makes it so special is that it's all abilities, but everybody needs support of some kind.
And could you talk a little bit about why is inclusion important in the arts?
My name is Kaylee Georgian, and I've been in tapestry since 2012, which is when it started. And I don't think inclusion is only important in the arts. I think it's important in all aspects of life. I think it's important that everyone has an equal chance, no matter like who they are as a person, because they deserve that chance. And in the arts, so many other different theater companies are concerned about like, oh, the best, we need to have like the perfect show and like the best actors and all that. So that like in high school, for example, I'm in the Circle of Friends program, and there was a kid who they wouldn't give a solo to in the choir, and she'd been in it for a few years, and she has special needs, and tapestry's not like that. I think if she did tapestry, she would get a large part, actually, because I think she's pretty good at acting.
We often hear from parents that they feel like their child has not had the opportunities afforded to them that other children have, and the arts is just a gift that everyone should be able to experience. Some parents say that a lot of their time is spent in speech therapy and physical therapy and at doctor's appointments, and that it's a real gift to them to be able to come into this artistic venue and just be part of that performing arts group.
For the actors, can you tell us what your personal story is and how tapestry and acting has impacted you?
I'm Barrett, and I have been in tapestry since their second show, which was Annie. And my mom took me to the first show, and I instantly was obsessed with it, and it was so good. So I contacted Elizabeth, and I told her I wanted to be in the next one. And it is because of tapestry that I'm going into special education, and it's just like an inspiration for what I want to do in life.
Like I said before, I've been in it since the first show, and I've really enjoyed it. And much like Barrett, tapestry has also been the reason that I want to go into speech-language pathology. And tapestry has just been really fun. I've loved seeing everyone just grow and perform, because I think it's really great that we have this opportunity to be in such a wonderful group of people where everyone's just friendly all the time, and it's awesome.
I'm Riley. This is my first show. My first one was musical, Mr. Mayor. Tapestry is like a family. And this group's like really important to everyone with abilities. I've had friends in college have this like abilities I know. And because of tapestry, I'm majoring in communications to be a movie critic and a theater critic.
Can you tell us a little bit about this upcoming production?
So we're doing Shrek Jr. the Musical, and I think it's a great show for tapestry because, I mean, obviously Shrek is different and all the fairy tale characters are different, and really it's all about accepting yourself for who you are and everyone accepting each other for who they are, and it's a great show.
I really like that about the show as well, is that it's all about accepting differences, and that's exactly what tapestry is about. I also want to add that this is our kid show. We do two shows a year, and this is the show for actors 11 through 21.
We are performing July 12th through July 16th at the Dairy Arts Center in Boulder, and we would love to see all of you come and just get introduced to tapestry. You will never be the same.
Tapestry's motto is applauding all abilities, because everyone has something special to share.
Those were actors with the Tapestry Theater Group. We heard from Kaylee Georgian, Riley McCluskey, and Barrett Storm O'Flanagan. We also heard from Elizabeth Goodrich. Shrek Jr. the Musical runs July 12th through the 16th at the Dairy Arts Center in Boulder. You can find out more at Center Stage, the theater company. org, and look under the Tapestry link, and that's theater spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E. And that does it for The Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Hannah Lee Myers.